I was one of those kids who didn't just read books. I lived inside them. I knew the landscape of Narnia better than my own neighborhood. Anne of Green Gables and Frodo and Jane Eyre, they were my best friends. For most of my life, the stories inside books have seemed as real and compelling as the world outside. But lately, something's been happening that kind of terrifies me. Books just don't pull me inside the way they used to. I mean, I pick up a book and I just can't quite settle in. And then I started hearing the same thing from other people. So what is this? Late onset dyslexia? Middle-aged ADHD? Or just my imagination?
It is not age. It is not imagination. What you're experiencing is what researchers call the new reading, which is skimming, browsing, word spotting, zigzagging, all of the sorts of ways that, in fact, are the antithesis of the readers we've been.
This is Marianne Wolfe. She's one of the world's leading experts on the neuroscience of reading. And here's what she thinks is happening. All that time we spend reading online, checking Facebook and Twitter, answering email, searching Google, she thinks that's actually rewiring our brains. And she warns that we're not just reading differently, we're also thinking differently.
And here's where I think it's really most threatening, if you will. It will actually change what is written ultimately.
So have you had this experience, like picked up a book you think you should love or want to love
yes.
or did once love and just couldn't get into it?
This is a rather sad awakening to me. Last year, I decided, because I'm writing a new book on the reading brain, whether or not I had changed along with everyone else. But to test this like a scientist, I had myself pull out a very complex but beautiful book I once loved. And it was Magister Lüdi, or The Glass Bead Game by Hermann Hesse. Yes, and I used to love this book.
But it is kind of a dense book, and it is 500 pages long or something.
But I wanted to test myself because density is one of the things that we're losing. So the test was to choose a dense book whose plot I knew, and so I could really focus and immerse myself in it.
And did it have the same old magic?
Oh, it was just the worst possible experience a reading researcher can have. It was like molasses on the brain. I hated the book. I didn't want to go past the first chapter. I thought, why in the world has Hermann Hesse ever won a Nobel Prize for literature? And it was really one of the great wake-up calls in the last 2 years for me. And I realized I could not slow myself down, that I was attempting to, in fact, invoke the same reading style that I was using the rest of the day. It made the very experience of reading onerous and distasteful. I was so frustrated, I just practically thrust the book back and thought, that's it. And then I felt great remorse. Because all of these books, Anne, all of them, are the stuff from which our lives have been made, the insights that have made us who we are. So out of pure guilt, I took the book back the next day and I forced myself to read just 20 minutes a day. And basically it took me 2 weeks before I returned to what Klinkenborg said, the reader we've been.
Wait, did you get it back? Did you get to the point where it was delicious to curl back up with that book?
Oh, it was so much as if I had come back to my cerebral home in reading. And it was so good that I actually then allowed myself almost the luxury of reading it now for pure pleasure. And I read it a second time.
Hmm. Now, I want to push back for just a minute because...
Yes.
It's possible, of course, that literary taste is just changing, as it always has, you know?
And will.
In the 20th century, people wrote different kinds of novels than they did in the 18th century, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're not becoming worse readers. Maybe in some ways we're becoming more demanding readers. We want, you know, cleaner, clearer, crisper writing than, you know, Henry James or Hermann Hesse.
You know, it's a very thoughtful and pithy question, but the very nature of our thoughts is represented in the complexity of our sentences. I would find it a great impoverishment if the young of our next generation would have only a diet of the simplest of sentences, which would never properly represent the natural convolutions of complex thought. And so when I hear chairs of English departments lamenting that their students no longer want to take Henry James, just as you suggested, no longer want to read the sentences of George Eliot or Marcel Proust, that gives me a frisson, an absolute fear that we will not have a generation who understands the richness that's possible in literature.
But I think it's what not, you're saying, right, is that it's not just whether or not we love and appreciate rich literature. I think what you're suggesting is that how we read is how we think. And that if we lose the ability to read and take pleasure in those deep, mm-hmm. complex sentences or maybe novels mm-hmm. with multiple subplots and 100 mm-hmm. characters, if we lose the ability mm-hmm. to do that, we're not able to think in as complex a way. Is that right?
It's also not developing the ability to appreciate the great richness in words themselves. That will be lost if we have a skimming, browsing, word-spotting way of reading. The brain is very, very plastic. It will reflect how we read. And so the very structure of how we appreciate and process language is going to be affected.
Why would it matter so much what we're reading? I mean, you know, we're still talking about words and print. Why does it matter whether the words in print are on a physical page or on a screen?
I think there are important advantages and disadvantages to both mediums. So I'd want to be sure that the real equation is not either or, but how do we enhance the experience of reading for the young by giving them what I will call a biliterate reading brain, one that knows when to use which mode for what material under what circumstances and purposes.
Well, wait, what's the difference? Like, yes. What's good digital reading and versus what's good print reading?
So in print reading, we know a great deal at this moment in time about what makes a great expert reader. And part of that is time to process, time to take on the perspective of others. Now, with digital reading, there is both the reality and a quasi-illusion that all you have to do is press another button, if you will, and you will have access to all kinds of information instead of having your own. So I would love to have the sense that our young are learning how to slow themselves down and not depend on another click and learn not to be so easily distracted that they become what people like Seymour Papert and Howard Gardner call grasshopper minds. We have to fight this peripatetic mind that many of our children have. They are hyper readers. We have to almost rein in their natural desire to go to the next stimulus to teach them those focused reading skills that print reading really fosters very nicely.
I guess I'm curious, what does this mean, say, for students today who have to balance doing focused reading for school and with their, you know, constant online digital consumption, you know, their texting and even research they may have to do for school?
There are two things that are happening at the same time, or even three, that really make almost a perfect storm for our students. The glut of information, the amount of distractions, and their absolute recognition that they can't possibly consolidate all of this in their memory. Mm. And so they are, you know, using other people's thoughts more than their own, or certainly more than to my own liking, all this information. has a good aspect and a bad, but it's fragmenting rather than helping them become more logical thinkers. So my hope is that we can really make people aware of this fragmentation of attention so that they will learn how to focus more and enjoy being immersed instead of moving from one stimulus or one device to another.
Marianne Wolfe is a child development professor at Tufts University. She's also an expert on dyslexia and the author of Proust and the Squid, The Story and Science of the Reading Brain.